Now, the question we're asking this morning, are some of us anti-Northern, or do we have a partitionist mindset here in the South? That's a question we're asking on foot of the claims made by former curator of the Listowel Writers Week, Stephen Connolly, about encountering anti-Northern sentiment while he was working at the festival, from a minority, but nonetheless, certainly something that's gotten a lot of attention online, with a lot of other Northerners weighing in, saying that they experienced the same when they come to events and talk to people from the South. So a wider debate on our attitudes towards people from Northern Ireland. Is this all a legacy of partition? Well, Northern Irish writer and author and journalist Malachy O'Doherty wrote the piece for the Irish Post, which talked to Stephen Connolly about his experiences at Listowel Writers Week. And I caught up with him and asked him the question about what this may say about attitudes to us as we head towards the overall debate, perhaps maybe for one day a border poll and a United Ireland. What is our relationship with people in the North, and do we discriminate against them because they're from Northern Ireland?
It's quite clear there's considerable sympathy for Stephen Connolly. The suggestion that he was... essentially, people believe, I suppose, that he lost the job there because he brought too many Northerners into the festival. That's the idea. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I've asked the Listowel Festival to give me a reason for not renewing his contract, and they haven't got back to me.
Yeah, so, well, I think it's fair to point out from that point of view, it was a fixed short-term contract for 1 year. The festival's going through a lot of change anyway. The chairwoman has now left at the end of her term. There's a new term in, so no new creator has been hired. So there could be lots of different things going on there from that point of view.
Yeah, there could. But essentially, he was insulted as a Northerner. He was told that he wasn't Irish. He was... told that he'd ruined the festival. He was he has posted an email with part of it deleted, in which he's told that if there were any more Northern voices about the place, we were done, you know. So the sense is on two levels. One is people know Stephen Connolly here and they like him. He's part of a literary scene. He's well known and well liked, and therefore they feel that he's been hard done by, and they know that he has come away from this with some degree of what he would call mental distress, right? So there's that, the sympathy on that level. On the other level, there's he's part of a writer's scene, so I mean he's known to most of the big name writers in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, and they are sharing his perspective. They are agreeing with him that that there's a partitionist mindset in the South, and that there's an unwillingness to include Northern writers in Southern festivals. Now, if you look at the program that he prepared for Listowel, my estimate is that about a third of the writers and workshop organizers there are Northerners, right? So is that a disproportionate representation of the North at the Listowel Festival? It actually isn't, because there's 7 million people in the island of Ireland, 2 million people in Northern Ireland, so we're about a third of the population of Ireland. So if we're all one Ireland, then you would expect normally that there are about a third, a quarter to a third of the writers at any big literary festival would be from the North. It's never that way. I mean, I've been to so many literary festivals in the Irish Republic, and it's never... there's never a Northern representation on that scale. Very often there's a little... almost novelty item at the end where we have our Northern where we have our Northern slot, you know, and they have a big name from here, and I have seen that. I'm a writer myself. I've 12 books published. That's quite a good record, I think. Now I've had four Southern publishers, so there's, I'm not saying that publishing in the South is opposed to the North. In fact, publishing is very strongly interested in Northern writers. The Stinging Fly, for instance, published Wendy Erskine. I'm published by Merrion. Others published by Merrion are like Richard O'Raw and Aaron Edwards and Jennifer O'Leary coming up. So there's a lot of Northern writers being published by Southern publishers, but it's not reflected in the conferences, in the festivals. I've done more literary festivals in Canada than in the Irish Republic.
And tell me this, do you think that portrays a wider mindset, taking it away from the literary world or the arts world or festivals, a wider reluctance or mindset or attitude among Southerners to people from the North?
It may, well, I mean, you're going to get a kind of regionalism everywhere. You know, we even have it inside Northern Ireland where we have jokes about cultures, you know, and that's a layer on top of our native sectarianism as well, where we have animosity or wariness between Catholic and Protestant. So that kind of thing happens everywhere. Another element of it is that I think perhaps the South feels that the North is just a problem. That when you watch Primetime and RTE and there's a story about the North, it's going to be related to sectarianism and the Troubles, you know. And there's probably a fully justified sense within the South that they did their bit to resolve this, you know, through the Good Friday Agreement, and therefore they're entitled to expect that they didn't have to hear about it anymore. It was over and done with.
Yeah. Why can't you just sort it out, Malachy? Why can't you just get it on, for God's sake?
What are you bothering us with that all nonsense about? I kind of understand that as well. At the same time, in the South, you know, a nation is a conversation. And in the South, you know, there are things that we feel a wee bit iffy about, to be honest, Jerry. I mean, it's only in recent years we've heard the Irish Republic call itself Ireland, you know? I mean, the first time I heard this was from British MPs in Westminster during the Brexit debates, talking about the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. And I'm thinking, God, you know, do these people not understand anything? And now I hear Michael D. Higgins saying the proper name of the country is Ireland, you know. And I also hear Micheál Martin just last week saying there is a problem of a lack of empathy with the North in the South. There is a failure to understand. And there has to be, and he's developing it through the Shared Island Initiative, there has to be an effort to create a greater cross-border understanding, you know. So,
yeah.
We criticize the unionists, and we often say to the unionists, you know, look, wise up. England doesn't really like you very much. You know, why don't you just settle terms with your neighbors and be done with it? And now it would be perfectly legitimate for them to say to the Northern Catholics, the nationalists, why don't you wise up? Because the South isn't interested in you either. And that's how it appears. And I mean, the incidents of Stephen Connolly's contract not being renewed at Listowel and the offensive remarks made to him has triggered that discussion. I've just come away from the BBC where I've been having exactly the same discussion on air on the Talkback programme with Una Mullally and William Crawley. So this is a running story at the moment.
Yeah. Is part of the issue here and part of the problem that it's all wrapped up in the political and the history and the Troubles, the Good Friday Agreement, the failure to set up the institutions in North, Brexit was thrown into the middle of it like a grenade. The most the Irish people see when they consume their media, they see someone up North saying no every 10 minutes to progress or to the future, and they just throw their hands up and go, ah, oh, Jesus, listen, leave it out.
Well, you tell me, because you're down there, you have a better notion of what you're doing, and maybe
it's the media's fault to an extent, because that's the only prism that we see things through or is presented to us, because that's what makes the headlines all the time.
That's why I think it's so interesting to look at what Irish publishers are doing, because Irish publishers, I mean, they're still interested obviously in the political discussion, because they published my book on Can Ireland Be One. They're publishing Aaron Edwards' analysis of unionism and so on, but they're also publishing great short stories by Wendy Erskine, and they're aware of a thriving literary scene in the North, you know, with writers like Jan Carson and Richard O'Raw and Paul Burgess, the Shankill Road Man down in Cork, you know. We kind of wonder, you know, maybe we're, well, I'm the wrong one to say it, because I write about the Troubles. I write about the political problem. But maybe a wider range of writers are kind of concealed behind that screen of blather about the old issues, you know, which we all wish had gone away and which haven't gone away. But I think if you're in a situation where people are organizing literary festivals in the South, don't know or don't care about people just 100 miles up the road who are who feel they're actually part of an almost a literary renaissance, to tell you the truth, because things are so energetic and so creative here. You know, if the feeling is, yeah, it might be very interesting, but we don't really want to know, because all they're ever going to talk about is bloody troubles, and we don't want that down here.
Let me ask you this question then, from the point of view of how Southerners feel they may be perceived by those in Northern Ireland. There, on the political front of it, there's the question and the fear in the future as to what a united Ireland would mean financially for people in the South, if that was to happen. A fear that, God, are we going to have to deal with those people in our politics, the no from unionism, as unfair as that may be to unionists and what they want and what their concerns are.
Yeah.
But also feeling that when you meet people from Northern Ireland, sometimes you feel, well, you know, they, depending on their age, but even younger people now, they've been through a lot. They've come to a place that still has problems. Bonfires are still burning effigies.
Yeah.
And that somehow people from the South feel that, well, it's hard to feel empathy because we're always kind of told, you weren't there. It's like almost like the Vietnam. You don't know, man. You weren't there. You didn't live through it. You had it easy. You know, what have you got to complain about? We're from the North. Right. And that makes people in the South feel, oh, do I want to be dealing with this? Whether that's, if you understand the meaning I'm saying.
I understand exactly what you're saying. And I'm glad you've said it, because it makes sense to me, you know. So I would go along with that. I would say probably there is a feeling about that. It's a bit like having an alcoholic brother, you know. You want him off the drink. You feel sorry for him. You lent him 100 quid last week, and now he's back looking for another 100 quid. You know, you really just want, you wish him well, but wish to God you didn't have to deal with his problems. You know, and that's understandable. That's acceptable, and that's understandable. And what's interesting coming out of this is that much of the discussion has been about how well unionists would gel with the Irish Republic, how well they would fit in, and how well the Republic would accept them. But what this instance raises is the question of how well the South would accept the Northern Catholics.
Nationalists.
The nationalists, you know, because maybe that's not such a good fit after all either, you know.
It's an interesting one. And no doubt the debate will continue. But Malachy, thanks for giving us your view on what's transpired.
For what it's worth. All the best to you, Jerry. Thank you very much indeed.